Good morning. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we focus on the Phillies Bridge Farm Project, a Hudson Valley not-for-profit working farm with a mission to promote local sustainable agriculture to provide CSA shareholders with abundant organically grown vegetables and herbs to share part of the harvest with people in need and to educate people of all ages about the sources of healthy food and the study of nature. What's not to love there? We are joined by board members and co-presidents Ariana Basco, Brian Obach, and board member and treasurer Terrence Ward. Good morning, all. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Let us begin with you, Ariana, as far as how all of this came to be. How long has this farm project been around?
We're going on our 25th year, actually. Yeah, so it's been quite a while that the Farm Project has been around. The land was acquired from Jim and Mary Ottaway. They gifted the land to us to be a farm.
We know them well. They are wonderful, wonderful friends of our radio station as well. So what? Give us a sense of the property and what goes on there.
It's 65 acres, and we farm a portion of them, and some of it is a nature trail. We have a big barn. We have a big pavilion. We use them for our camp program. So we have a summer camp for kids. It's ages 4 to 12, and that's also based on education, a lot of farm education, where does your food come from, but they're also following the STEAM format, which is science,
technology, engineering, arts and math.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nicely done. Real quick before we move on here, because I know you have the knowledge here on this particular subject, which is a little bit of history about the farm. The farm itself has a fascinating history.
The farm has been. It's been in production as a farm for 25 years, but before that, it was a farm and it was a family-run farm.
Yeah, it's the oldest nonprofit community-supported agriculture farm in the region. Again, it was donated by the Ottaways, and it became one of the first CSAs. It's been serving the community really well for that period.
Yeah, when they lived there, it was inactive, but it had been a century farm farmed by the Lefevre family, which is an old historic family in the area.
Now, Brian, your background, professor of sociology, director of environmental studies at SUNY New Paltz. So this is a way to put all of that background into very real work.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of my time in class talking about the problems and dysfunctions of our food and agriculture system. And the Phillies Bridge Farm Project provides us a model of what our food and agriculture system could look like. You know, one that is ecologically sustainable, one that is healthy, one that is locally based. And I spent so much time telling my students about the horrors of the industrial agriculture system that it was just great to be able to take them out there and show them the farm and show them how food could really be grown.
Why is it so easy to do something so horrible when the counter to that is what is referred to as natural?
You know, that is a good question. And, you know, it's amazing that we have created a food and agriculture system that is about as dysfunctional as you can imagine. You know, it is ecologically unsound. It is unhealthy. It is socially unjust. And it happens that way because the federal government subsidizes industrial agriculture. There is a lack of regulation and regulatory enforcement of the ecological destruction that comes from industrial agriculture. And then essentially those who are trying to do it right, places like Phillies Bridge, you know, face additional hurdles. You know, if a farm wants to sell food organically, they have to go through a number of regulatory processes and pay a number of fees in order to do that. While if you want to sell the worst, most unhealthy food, you can avoid all of that cost. So really, and that's part of our educational mission, is to educate people about how the system itself is just utterly dysfunctional, but that there are models out there that could really work, that could really serve people and protect the environment.
So, Terrence, give us a sense of how Phillies Bridge stands out in helping and providing and moving the conversation forward.
I think that education is really at the core of everything that we do. We use, as Brian said, our educational model to help people understand what food justice even is and where the inequities lie. Our summer camp program is built upon the idea that children should understand where food comes from and be able to interact with it. It's not just something that's plastic wrapped in a store. We've provided cooking classes for people in case you're unfamiliar because of our food system with these some of the delicious vegetables we produce. We can show you how to prepare them. We even have volunteers who come in to help with canning classes to help with sustainability and that sort of approach. It's really education is the driver of everything that we do at Philly's Bridge.
Arianna, when you bring people together and you let them know about the farm, how does that then take off of, okay, this is an understanding of how we can address some of these issues?
Bringing people together is a large part of what we do at Philly's Bridge.
Right.
I mean, we have people come together for these different classes and different events, and building community is a big part of it, knowing your farmer. So having your connection with your farmer is actually a large part of it, too. And having Heather there, Heather Wodehouse is our farm manager, having her there to talk to about what kinds of practices she has, which she uses organic growing practices, and learning about what that is something that could stem from knowing where your food comes from. And, you know, it's about values, shared value systems. You can meet other people through the CSA. You can you can volunteer on the board and start to bring those values into the community as well.
Yeah, there's good research to show that, you know, when people are connected to their food system on a community basis, they mm-hmm. actually become more engaged citizens. You know, they volunteer more.
They
participate more in governance. They vote. It really, you know, we all eat, and food can serve as a hub for bringing us all together.
When you do something like this, walk us through just how it works, of how ultimately, if someone is listening to this and is interested in becoming a part of it, then how does that work? And just walk us through the. Before we get mm-hmm. to the volunteering part, and then you give them the keys and you tell them to lock up when they're done. Mm-hmm. The in-between that. Uh-huh. You know how you all were sucked in.
Sure.
I mean, you could start by joining the Community Supported Agriculture Program, a CSA, joining that program by picking up your vegetables every week. You pay at the beginning of a season. You can go online and sign up for something like that. And then you have, I think it's 24 weeks of vegetables, once a week pickup. That's, you pay at one price at the beginning, and then you pick up every week for the entire season.
And there are many CSAs throughout our region. And, you know, I encourage anybody close to us to, of course, join the greatest one, Philly's Bridge Farm Project. But there are many others, and they do excellent work. And really, that's the first step in being part of, you know, a local sustainable food system. But we also encourage people to, you know, we're a nonprofit organization. We welcome, you know, people who want to donate to support our food justice program. That's the program that gets some of this healthy, sustainable food to food insecure populations, people that don't otherwise have access. And that's just a huge help and a huge way to be a part.
How do you expand that? And what is the need? And I mean, do we even have a sense of what the need is in our community?
I mean, the need is incredible across the United States. You know, our problems are large, and it's difficult to sort of address them piecemeal. We have a poverty problem and an inequality problem, but the food component to that is that there are large segments of our population that live in areas that literally do not have access to healthy food. They have access to fast food, they have access to junk food and convenience stores, but they don't have supermarkets, they don't have farmers markets, and they certainly don't have direct access to farms that are producing sustainable, healthy food. So, you know, the problem is extensive, and that's associated with the health crisis that we face as well. But what we're trying to do, you know, our part is to, you know, show a model of how food can be produced sustainably, healthy food can be produced sustainably, and then we partner with a number of organizations to ensure that we can actually get it to those people in need.
Like places like the Cornell Cooperative Extension, Ulster County Healthy Families, Ulster Corps. Ulster Corps is actually an organization that comes to farms, does the gleaning itself. They come and pick anything that hasn't been harvested but is totally edible, but just hasn't been gotten to for that round of harvesting. And they'll bring it to food pantries and soup kitchens, and then it's distributed that way. But places like Family of New Paltz is a super local food pantry that right in New Paltz, and they come to the farm and then they distribute the food. So people who don't have transportation to get themselves to our farm still have ways of getting the food through food pantries and nutrition programs.
And Terrence, of course, volunteers are always the backbone to an organization like this. They are here. And besides just being a CSA member, as I mentioned, they can do, you have weeding parties, you have, there's camp scholarships they can help out with, that they can fix the tractor, they can do all kinds of things.
Oh, sure. We always have calls for volunteers for short things like doing the weeding or maintaining the trail. Our trail goes through our conservation easement area, which is held by the Wallkill Valley Land Trust. We ask people to serve on committees to help us strategize, like how to keep our 150, 200-year-old barn afloat, and how to figure out new ways to envision how to deliver this food to different people, and certainly people are welcome to consider joining our board. We look for people from diverse backgrounds who have different skill sets, because the more the merrier when you're running a complex process like this.
One of the things that fascinates me, Brian, in the CSA that I'm a part of is just how diverse it is.
That's wonderful that you're a member of a CSA.
But right. It's really incredible that because you get everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a relatively the cross section is fairly amazing. I assume that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
As
yeah,
yours as it
yeah,
is across
it is.
The board.
You know, like I said, everybody eats, and the fact that you know, I mean, in the industrial food system that we have, we really sort of lose connection with other people in that process, not just the farmers, but, you know, other people, our neighbors and friends. You know, just think about how many, you know, real conversations you have in the supermarket. You know, for most people, the extent of the social interaction is, you know, thank you, have a nice day, paper or plastic. You know, if you're a part of a CSA, it's really a part of a community, and it's strengthening the ties that I think more than ever now, you know, we need as a society to bring diverse people together. And what better way to come together than around food and farming?
So, Ariana, when it's all said and done, what would you like people to get out of the segment and how they can help you?
Well, they can definitely donate. Philliesbridge.org is a way that they can help support the farm in many ways. You can donate right on that page. And, you know, you can sponsor a share for a family. You can sponsor a camp scholarship for a child. Things like that are definitely ways that we would like people to help us out. And they can create endowments for specific projects. If somebody has a particular passion, they can designate that money for that.
Well, you can find out more information about all of this by going to the website. And you mentioned the website again is?
Philliesbridge.org.
Philliesbridge.org. Philliesbridge.org. And that is with two L's. Philliesbridge.org. My thanks to Ariana Basco, Brian Obach, and Terrence Ward. Thank you for sharing and for the great work you're doing in the community.
Oh, thanks so much for
having
us.
Pleasure to have you
here.
Thank you very much. For more information, again, you can go to their website. You can also check out ours, where we'll have links to this group as well as this interview. WAMC.org/roundtable. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress.